You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, new emission rules could mean jail time for corporate leaders. South Africa is set to bring in tougher climate enforcement, and that effectively means that companies breaching carbon emission standards could see executives fined or even imprisoned, while exceeding limits may trigger heightened carbon tax rates. I'm in conversation now with Geraldine Morris, who's co-head of Africa at the Carbon Trust, who says these proposed regulations are expected to take effect early next year and rise above current global carbon measures, pushing businesses to act rather than delay. Geraldine, a very warm welcome to you. And maybe just as an overview, explain to us why these new rules are important.
Thanks, Jeremy. I think important to clarify that the penalties are not actually a new instrument. These have been in place in the primary legislation, the National Environmental Management Act, and they are the penalties, mostly administrative, for companies who do not provide the information required to manage their environmental considerations, and including, in this case, greenhouse gas emission limits. And so we do currently have in place the pollution prevention plans. So these are the current instruments that many companies have had to comply with since around 2009. And many of these penalties are indeed the same. So it's not a new instrument, thankfully. But I do think it is important as part of the suite of measures to drive the action. The real stick, if I can call it that, is that the higher tax, the higher carbon tax that would be imposed on companies if they fail to stick within their carbon budgets and exceed those limits within the five-year rolling period.
Geraldine, typically, how do companies rank in this country with disclosure of that important information?
I think the disclosure is not so much the problem. There has been the requirement to report greenhouse gas emissions since 2017. It's not necessarily public in all instances. There is some sensitive information that is disclosed to government. So, as I say, not necessarily always made public, but companies are pretty good at reporting their emissions as they need to. It's really just managing those emissions down that I think is quite challenging for many South African entities, particularly those in what we call the hard to abate sectors, where carbon is inherently part of the process of what they do. So, for example, steelmaking.
But given, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that companies like Sasol and Eskom account for something like 60% of emissions, the regulations can't really transform the broader industrial sector dynamic, or can it?
I think it can, particularly in the case of Eskom. You know, while there are obviously critical just transition considerations in terms of the workers and communities that are currently reliant on the coal value chain for the economic sustainability, from a technological point of view and even from a financial point of view, electricity decarbonization is really a low-hanging fruit. There are many, many interventions that can come into play, many of which are already incorporated into our policies and plans going forward. So bringing in more renewable energy, more battery storage, and just generally decarbonizing the grid. So Eskom is certainly able to decarbonize in line with our long-term view, net zero emission targets at mid-century, and they are a critical source of emissions in the economy. So tackling those will make a huge difference and is eminently possible. Sasol is obviously a much more complex beast, but they also, I believe, have some mitigation interventions that they are looking to bring into how they do their business over time as well. They have certainly stated that they aim to still meet their commitments in terms of their decarbonization targets that they've put forward in their annual report.
There is the argument that higher carbon taxes and even the threat of fines or jails could scare away foreign investment. How does one balance enforcement, which is critical, and as you've outlined to me, with the competing imperative of economic competitiveness?
I think it would actually help us remain more competitive. So we currently, as a country, our overall carbon price, so if you look at the collection of kind of a carbon budget system, which effectively puts a cap on emissions, and then the higher carbon tax, which prices those emissions in exceedance. We do have a current or a standard carbon tax, which is quite low in international terms. International carbon prices are around $80 per ton. Ours is much, much lower than that. And we also currently have many allowances in our carbon tax regime. So companies can, in some instances, qualify for up to a 95% reduction in their carbon tax liability. So our current carbon tax is pretty weak in terms of being an instrument to drive behavioral change. So having this potential higher penalty creates an incentive for companies to actually implement mitigation opportunities and reduce their emissions. And it will also, I believe, bring our overall carbon price more in line with international standards. Now, why that makes us potentially more competitive is if you look at an instrument like the Carbon Border Tax Adjustment or CBAM that Europe is looking to introduce more stringently from next year. That basically says that any goods that are a higher carbon intensity than the standard set in the EU will be subject to this border adjustment tax. And so importers from a European side will look to ensure that the goods that they import are low carbon, because they will otherwise be liable for the difference between what our carbon price is and what the European carbon price is. So if our price is more in line with that price, and if we look to decarbonize the goods that we export to Europe, then we will be able to remain a key importer into that, or exporter rather, into that market. So it makes us actually more competitive than less.
And how difficult is it going to be for government to ensure both fairness and transparency in enforcement to prevent arbitrary or even politically motivated prosecutions, which is a risk?
Yes, I guess it could be. But having said that, and I read through, you know, these draft regulations and all the way through existing regulations and up to the main Environmental Management Act, and they are mechanisms for appeals. So this isn't a summary thing. It's also important to note that the legislation is very clear that the imposition of these fines and imprisonment is on conviction of the various offences that are listed. And so this, as I say, is not just kind of like a summary instance where somebody comes along and decides you're non-compliant and, you know, hits you with a fine. There are requirements that have to be met. There are processes and appeal processes within the legislation. So it's quite a long way between potential infringement and the penalties actually being enforced. I think DFFE in particular, the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, in my experience, is also a very reasonable department in terms of engaging with stakeholders. They're very good at working with different stakeholders to ensure that actions happen. So even in the setting of these carbon budgets, in the first instance, for the first 5 years, the draft regulations specifically state that it will be based on the current pollution prevention plan. So these are already in place. Companies are already looking to comply with these. So they won't suddenly be this new, really rigorous, unattainable imposition of a budget that companies would struggle to comply with, therefore, you know, run a risk of running afoul of these things. So I think all the processes within the laws as they're written, and I think also within our judiciary, can help safeguard from that kind of malicious prosecution.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Geraldine Morris from the Carbon Trust. I do appreciate your time.